Welcome to our first episode of Now Playing. I'm Marjorie.
And I'm not. I'm Arnie.
What movie did we just see, Arnie? One you've been waiting for and dying to see.
Spider-Man 3.
And what did you think of it?
It wasn't as good as I'd hoped, I must say. I'm a little disappointed. When a movie like this comes out, a big event movie, a tentpole movie of a season, it has a tendency to be hyped. And when something gets hyped, there's a tendency to hope for something better than what it actually is. And I believe that the hype of this movie was better than the movie itself. I think this was the weakest of the three Spider-Man films, but I still enjoyed it. It just wasn't nearly as good as the previous two.
I agree. I don't think it was as good as the previous two. It's nowhere near one at all, which I think is the best one of the series. My problem with it is that they tried too much going on in this movie. I mean, we've got Sandman, we've got Venom, we've still got the new Goblin, Harry, plus Peter Parker and is still with Mary Jane. And he's thinking of asking her to marry him, so we have that distraction as well. I don't think this was as action-packed as the others.
Well, the other movies had a lot of paces with no action. If you think about Spider-Man 2, there's that whole period where he is Spider-Man no more. But that worked for that movie. And in this movie, it just seemed because they were trying to do so much with the action that the parts that weren't action-packed were really long. And it almost seemed like there wasn't a whole lot of action in the movie, really. It seemed to be a lot of Peter Parker on the telephone and things like that.
I had some problems with the movie, as I said before. One big problem I had was Aunt May.
She reminded me of the grandmother from Parenthood when she's talking about the roller coasters. And then Steve Martin goes, "Great, one roller coaster story from Grandma and everything's better." Only in Spider-Man world, one little droplet of wisdom from Aunt May and everything was better.
Yeah, I really didn't enjoy that. And I'm sorry, I don't like the way she talks. It's just, her voice gets on my nerves.
It's a little husky.
I just didn't care for Aunt May's voice. I don't care for that actress. I don't think she's been in much. But I just found her bits of sage wisdom to be tired and boring. And it's like an episode of Little House on the Prairie where Pa would say something and make it all better for Laura and Mary.
Actually, I think that actress has been in a lot, just not a lot of stuff we've seen. I know for a fact she's been in another movie with William Dafoe. Can't remember which one off the top of my head.
He's still creepy.
He is still very creepy and still the best villain of the three movies, I think, except for that whole Power Rangers mask. They fixed the Power Rangers mask with the new Goblin. They made him look a little bit like a snowboarder with the goggles and the snowboard, but they did fix the Power Rangers mask.
And James Franco was an amazing villain. I think he really did a good turn, and he looked enough like William Dafoe, which is not going to bode well for him when he's older, that he was actually believable as his son, and he did a good turn, I think. I don't think they gave him enough to do in that movie.
I hadn't liked Franco in the first two. He really came into his own in this one. And yeah, he was the best villain in this movie. And this is coming from somebody who going in there was like, "Venom! Venom!" And now I'm just like, why didn't they give the Goblin more time?
Yeah, Venom was, not that great, I didn't think. Of course, Topher Grace was good. I thought he played the villain well, but it was lame, and it came so late in the movie that there really wasn't much to do with him. And Sandman was kind of forgotten for the entire middle part of the movie, and he had such a tragic story. I don't know if he's going to come back and be a villain, if there is a fourth one.
I gotta say, seeing this movie makes me hope there isn't a fourth one, because once the franchise starts to falter a little bit, you kind of just want them to quit while they're ahead. You don't want them to get in a situation where they keep making movies that they don't want to make and that aren't as good. You're right, Venom was not in this enough. He was not very well explained. Having read the comics, I had a lot of knowledge about Venom, but somebody just going in off the street is going to not entirely understand what's going on. It's not a spoiler to say it's from outer space, and they never really explain anything else.
I was not sure how Venom inherited the characteristics of Spider-Man when he moved to Eddie Brock, because he got the web slinging, he got the similar outfit, when really it was just that being from outer space that made Peter Parker with the black outfit and made all his aggression come out. But they didn't really explain how, when bits of it were falling on Venom, how Eddie Brock, it turned into like a mutated Spider-Man. That really wasn't explained, so I have no idea about that.
Rather than answer your question, because that would mean comic book knowledge, which you really don't need, I'm going to go into what you were talking about with Evil Peter Parker. Evil Peter Parker. I really think that the lead singer of The Cure needs to sue for his bangs back.
Yeah, there were a few stages for Evil Peter Parker. One of them was looking kind of goth with his black hair hanging over his eye and being all moody. And it kind of reminded me of the goth kid from South Park when they made the dancing group and you got served. Well, that's...
No, you got F'd in the A.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but that's what the actual title was. I think Comedy Central made them change it. But first he looked like that with the hair over his eye. And then he morphed into this, like, two wild and crazy guys from Saturday Night Live, and he's walking down the street pointing at people and kind of like a bad Austin Powers mixed in with it. Then he gets to the jazz club where Mary Jane is a singing waitress. She went from Broadway to a singing waitress, which is a hell of a fall. And suddenly Spider-Man has jazz hands.
Did you hear her sing on Broadway? It was a deserved fall.
That's true. She is not the greatest singer. Maybe they did that on purpose, but at the end when she was singing, it wasn't good either.
She's sexy, she's cute, she's popular to boot, but she can't sing.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in this movie, and I think that some of the actors did a really good job. Not the two main stars. I think James Franco did a great job.
Yeah.
I think Topher Grace did a great job.
Very much. Gone was the geek from That 70s Show. He really pulled off his role marvelously.
He did a fantastic job. Now, the problem I think that they had was for Sandman, they did not tap into Thomas Hayden Church's acting abilities, I think. He could have done so much more of that role, but it was like, you know, the whole middle third of the movie, there was no Sandman, no Thomas Hayden Church. Yeah, we know his backstory, his daughter's dying, blah, 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 that's why he steals, but they show him turning into Sandman, he has a good battle, and then you don't see him for a long time.
My problem was the Sandman, especially at the end, turned into the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters, where he's just this lumbering creature and has the same dialogue as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, which was that roar. I'm sure Thomas Hayden Church goes from being in an Oscar-nominated movie Sideways to having such great dialogue as roar.
You do that quite well. Yeah, I don't think they really tapped into his abilities. And I don't know, I really think that they could have done so much more with this. And I think they're just too busy exploring Peter and Mary Jane and Aunt May. And I really don't like how they wrapped up that little, that wasn't even a loose end with trying to explain why Sandman suddenly killed Uncle Ben.
I think it's wrong to change the story of why Uncle Ben was killed or who killed Uncle Ben.
But you like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I believe in Episode 4, A New Hope, there was no inkling that Luke and Leia were siblings.
That's Lucas's universe. He can do with what he pleases. This is Stan Lee's universe and Raimi's pissing in the sand.
Okay.
And really, it wasn't needed. You didn't need to change that story. Sandman could have been a villain and done something else. I don't know what. But then again, I'm sitting here 5 minutes after seeing the movie. I'm not a writer paid to come up with these ideas. They want to cut me a check for 6 figures. I'll give them some ideas. Until then, I'll keep them to myself.
Why don't you go for 7 or 8 figures? That seems like the way to go. And we forgot to mention, I don't believe we mentioned the best actor in the entire movie, did we?
The butler?
Bernard, yes, he was a very good actor, but no. Who was the best actor in the entire movie? He's on your t-shirt. No, he's not wearing a Tobey Maguire shirt.
The Bruce.
Bruce Campbell made another appearance in a Sam Raimi film. Imagine that.
I've really been trying to figure out if he's playing the same character in all three movies, and he just keeps having a career fall where he goes from wrestling announcer, and he doesn't hold that gig long enough. He becomes a doorman at a playhouse, and now he's a maitre d' at a restaurant.
But he's French in this one, as he so frequently reminds Peter Parker, is that he is French.
Anybody can affect that accent. You see, now I am French.
Oh my god, where'd my husband go?
I even have the mustache.
That's true. Your junior high mustache. It also has a French mustache. Yeah, I don't think it's the same character. I think it's just a kitschy thing. People love Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell's an awesome guy, and I think that people love to see him in movies.
Bruce Campbell truly had the standout scene, and that's sad. It's kind of like Hal Sparks' scene in the second one. I mean, it was just something that sticks with you after the movie. And that's the thing. When this movie worked, like the Bruce Campbell scene, it worked very well. But it did suffer from the one thing that I was afraid it would, which is too much going on. Aunt May went from a character who was a great character in the first two movies. She had money problems, she had loss of her husband, and now she's just one of those stereotypical wise old people. Now, I know a lot of old people. Most of the time, they're not wise. They usually have gout and angina, but they're not wise. Usually, they just keep telling me about their medical problems. And they keep reliving stories of when they were young. They don't go, well, what you first must do is forgive yourself.
You knew my grandmother.
Yes.
She was a crazy lady.
Very crazy.
She was fun. You know what her greatest advice that her and her sister gave me? You can have fuzzy navels for breakfast because it's got orange juice in it. No one can smell the peach schnapps. I don't think that would make it into a movie.
And the butler was the stereotypical old person too, because I'm not going to say what, but at the climactic point in the movie, all of a sudden he's there with that little sage bit of advice. It's like, oh dear God, we have not one but two old people who know everything. If those two hooked up, my God, they'd solve the world's energy crisis.
They'd solve everything. There'd be peace in the Middle East.
Peas in the Middle East? Yes, I think old people do like to push peas and carrots.
I said peace. And there'd be no more tragedies in Darfur.
But you go to Spider-Man to see action, and there wasn't a whole lot of action. What action there was?
Yeah, I don't think it was really good. The fight at the end wasn't too fantastic. The fight at the beginning was okay, but it still wasn't. It's not like the other movies. It could have been better.
My favorite fight of the whole thing was between Peter and Harry. Now, I'm not saying Green Goblin and Spider-Man, but actually Peter and Harry, when they went at it, best fight in the whole movie. But a lot of them, I gotta say, Spider-Man has always been a little iffy on the special effects because they try to do more than technology even allows. But at times, I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, that looks like sci-fi made-for-TV movie effects.
I'll tell you where it's really noticeable, too, is when, at the beginning of the movie, when Peter Parker and Mary Jane are laying in the web, which I think was in all the trailers, and they show one shot of them for a while, and it seriously looks like they're standing in front of a drive-in movie theater, and then they change the shot, and it looks like the web is made of, like, that cheap rope that you get, like, at the hardware store to tie crap down in your trunk. It really didn't look good there.
And I think the Venom suit effects were very, very good, but the Venom face effects looked like a cartoon, looked animated.
They weren't all that great. The sound was good with his growl or screech, but yeah, the effects of it weren't all that great. The Sandman was really awesome, I thought.
Absolutely. Those were fantastic. The scene of the Sandman rising, that deserves Oscar for special effects right there, because it not only looked very real, but it conveyed so much emotion. And I don't know if that was just one hell of an animator or if Thomas Hayden Church acted and they animated. I don't know what happened there. But that scene was another high point of the movie. I really liked that.
I think it's Thomas Hayden Church because do you seriously look at him and think of Lowell Mathers from Wings?
No, I don't.
See, I think Thomas Hayden Church is a good actor. That's what I consider a good actor. When I see them in other things, I don't automatically revert to something else. And I can suspend that in my mind and think, oh, well, there's this character. And I don't think, well, hey, look, it's like Austin Powers when I'm watching So I Married an Axe Murderer. You know what I mean? Because I think you have the problem with Mike Myers. You think all his characters link together. And I don't think that Thomas Hayden Church does that. Because from Wings to Sideways to this, and even Ned and Stacy, it's not the same guy.
And sometimes that works. Charlie Sheen is the same guy in everything, but that works for Charlie Sheen if you like Charlie Sheen. But I guess that's the difference between an actor and a media personality. In the end, I really am disappointed in this movie because it didn't live up to my expectations, but it wasn't a bad movie, except for when Peter Parker becomes that wild and crazy guy. That was laugh-a-rific. I'm sorry. I was cracking up just because it was so cheesy, because this is, and I think it was intentionally funny because the people around him were laughing too, but I hope they were laughing at that hair, because that black suit, if you get a black space suit, let me warn you, switch to the shampoo for oily hair.
Yeah, evil Peter really wasn't all that great, although I still don't know why that suit made him have jazz hands. I'm just really confused by the whole jazz dance sequence. That was bizarre. I don't know. I guess he went to jazzercise.
Or the black suit did. There's a lot of things in this movie that don't make sense, and I really feel that at 2 minutes and 2 hours and 20 minutes, they left a lot of it on the cutting room floor. Perhaps there'll be a Lord of the Rings-esque 4-hour director's cut, or maybe not. Maybe they just couldn't afford or didn't have the time or whatever to finish the special effects. There just seem to be huge gaps in this movie. Gaps explaining the black suit. Gaps explaining the Sandman's child, who appears at the first portion of the movie and is mentioned time and time again, but we never see this girl again. She's his whole motivation. I still don't know if she lives or dies.
I'm assuming she's alive, because when he breaks out of prison, she's still alive. But then he just carries her on the locket, and you don't ever see them go back there.
And he keeps saying he's stealing because his daughter needs money. How much money does the bitch need? He's robbing bank after bank after bank.
Medical treatment's very expensive.
When you rob a bank and you walk away with a huge briefcase full of money, that's several million dollars.
No, I don't think so.
If you get a suitcase full of hundreds, like the Sandman kept stealing,
It's probably not a million, no. And actually, he didn't actually get it because Peter Parker beat him down, and I think he had to escape without the money.
I want to know what kind of doctor, for whatever mysterious movie ailment she had, what doctor takes his payments for that in 20s?
They probably put it in a bank and write a check or use a debit card. Deposit $9,999.99 stay under the radar of the government.
They really should lower that alert to 98 cents so that people don't do that anymore. Uh-huh. But I wish I loved this movie, and I can't say I did. And if you enjoy it, that's great. It's definitely got some enjoyable parts of it. My very last note, and no pun intended there, they got rid of Danny Elfman doing the score.
Is that why it wasn't good?
This score sucked, and I never talk about movie music. But,
yes, you do.
But every time...
You're such a liar.
Every time the Sandman came, I'll do the song because I've heard it so many times. Brump, 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 brump. It was about as subtle as the Jaws theme. It was really, really bad. It was from the guy who did Hellraiser and A Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
You wouldn't know that if you never talked about movie music.
And he is no Elfman. Somebody tell him he is no Elfman.
Are you glad that you didn't go crazy and buy all the Spider-Man toys now? Long pause as you think and formulate your answer here. And let's have it.
No, I'm not glad I didn't buy all the toys. Because, I'm glad I didn't buy all the toys. But the toys that I looked at and the toys that I bought all have a certain characteristic that remind me why I love Spider-Man. And I do love Spider-Man. I don't love Spider-Man 3, the movie. But that Venom VCD from Sideshow, still cute. The fact that Venom in this movie, kind of lame, does not invalidate how adorable the Venom VCD is.
Do we still have to eat at Burger King to get the kids' meals to get the blind package toys?
You do not.
But you do.
Yes, I still want that little Venom.
Okay.
Because it's not about that movie, it's about the comics.
Okay. Well, in the end, I think we thought it was a decent movie, but as part of the franchise, not that great.
No, you think the first one's the best. I think the second one's the best. We both agree the third one's the worst.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think the next movie we'll see in theaters, probably Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Are they on a big cruise ship?
They might be. I haven't seen the film yet.
Uh-huh.
So we will definitely have another show for Pirates of the Caribbean. And we'll probably do a few more in between. Until then, keep watching Lost. It's gotten good again.
Watch 30 Rock. Don't let it get canceled.
Talk to you next time.